In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why is the cross the center of our Christian life? Why is the cross the center of human history? The answer to that question will determine whether our life is a life that is lived at one with God. There is here the ultimate battle between God and death, between God and the devil. For the part of the world, it chooses this particular kind of death for a good reason, according to the wisdom of the world. It is the most shameful kind of death that could be inflicted upon Jesus, the one who claimed by what he did to be the true king, to bring him down from that high claim and to ridicule his claim, is the reason behind their choosing of this kind of death. He is humiliated with all that can be thrown at him in order to destroy him, in order to destroy his dignity, his credibility, his believability. This is the king. Look how we are treating him. And he does not respond. This is the one who is the ruler of all things. They spit on him. They beat him. They give him his own means of death, the cross that is used for the worst criminals to carry to Golgotha. They nail him through the hands that are supposed to be so powerful, the right and the left hands of God, accepting these nails into them. Surely no one will remember this person that we crucify between two common criminals to show our disdain for him. Every possible manner of insult and disrespect is heaped upon him. That's why they choose that way of death. But why does Jesus choose this way of death? Why does God choose this way of death? Why is the one who has become incarnate, the one who is fully God and fully man, and has lived these past 3 decades, revealing who he is, why does he choose this kind of death? St. John Chrysostom points out to us that the power of God is never so strong as when he is loving enemies. The way of the world is that we fight against our enemies and we overcome them. We subdue them. But God is the Lord. There is no way that they can overcome him by these worldly means of trying to reduce his glory. He is God. The glory is his. He has created the heavens and the earth, and he has created them. And now he has entered into our humanity, and they will bring the death upon him that he accepts in our humanity. But this will be a new kind of death. Christ on the cross is not a victim, which is what's wrong with the movie version. Our pity is brought out when we see that graphic motion picture that was made a few years ago, Mel Gibson's picture. As well it should be, because we are on the side of Christ, not on the side of those who are ridiculing and abusing him and putting him to death. But as we pity him, we are not in a position to know what he is doing by his world-transforming death. God is never so powerful as when he is loving enemies. God is never so powerful as when he is bringing good upon those who spitefully use him. Jesus tells us to live this way. It is, in fact, exactly the way that he chooses to die. The worst possible, that the world and those who are turned away from God can throw on him, he receives, as he will receive death itself, in order to transform this path of humiliation and death for his sake into an entrance into divine life, a life that we can share with him. And if we die a death like his, then we can share the life that he gives us, because he has made that shame, humiliation for his sake, and that death for his sake, into a path into divine life with him. That's why he chooses the death that he chooses, because it's not forced upon him. And again, this is the thing that's wrong with the dramatic motion picture version. It is not something that is forced upon him. He accepts it. He chooses the time, remember. He is only taken in the garden after having raised Lazarus from the dead and drawn attention, finally, to himself. It's a saying, come and get me. Take me now. I'm ready. This is the time. And they take him into Jerusalem and crucify him at a time of his own choosing, in a way that God has chosen, because he is going to use death itself as our path into eternal life with him. So that all of the insults that we take in our lives from the conditions of our lives and from others who may hate and abuse us, and perhaps God himself, can be exactly the sort of thing for us that Christ made them into on the cross by accepting them. Being that he is God, and those things have no power to destroy him, but in fact make him stronger. God is never so strong as when he is loving those that stand against him, because he cannot be overcome. Death cannot overcome him. No humiliation can lower him. There on the cross, he looks down on his mother, Mary, and John, the beloved disciple. And he says to Mary, woman, behold your son. And according to Chrysostom and other fathers, he uses the term woman and applies it to Mary as a title of affection, respect, acknowledging the fact that he, the Son of God, God himself, is here in the world because of her acceptance of the will of God. It's a reference to the Garden of Eden and Eve, that first woman who turned away from God and sought some other means of becoming like God from the fruit of a tree. And here is this woman, the one we call the new Eve, who chose oppositely, who chose to turn toward God himself and say, thy will be done. And she stands before this other tree, the tree of the cross, and the fruit of that cross is her son crucified. Woman, behold your son. She has made it possible for him to be there. Now, from a worldly point of view, we might understand that in one way. But from God's point of view, we understand it in an entirely different way. By accepting his will, she has made it possible for him to finally destroy the enemy once and for all, death itself. This is the fruit of her choice, as it must be, we pray, the fruit of our choice when we choose God rather than the world. When our strength comes from him and his life, So that whenever we suffer the insults and indignities and difficulties of living in a world where what God has created us to be is humiliated by the conditions in which we find ourselves and the difficulties and the seeming hopelessness and the insults by accident and necessity and others that we suffer. God has overcome the death that lies behind all of that suffering and difficulty, because it is death that we are facing and confronting whenever we find ourselves in one of those situations. And as Christians, we know that that death has been overcome for us in Christ. We have God's divinity in us and can deal with all of those things in the same way that he did, by destroying the power of death through what he has done. And he looks at John and he says, "Behold your mother." And of course, at one level, it simply means take care of her. Jesus is an only child. When he dies, his mother has no one to take care of her. And so he commends her into the care of John. But more than that, we have always understood that what is meant by those words is that we must do what she did. We must accept God as she did, through our own body, physically, in our physical bodies, living in the world on a daily basis. Our lives must become the bearing of Christ in the world, the living of a life that God makes possible for us to live. We must become Christ bearers, as she once bore him in her own womb. We call her Mother of the Church. And people misunderstand it. But what we mean is that all of us, if we are going to be Christians, must bear Christ within ourselves as she bore him in her womb first. She was the first one to bear Christ within herself, to bear God within herself, to bear the one who created the universe within herself. We must all do that. She is the new Eve of that new way of life. This death, Chrysostom says, is like no other, because death has been victimizing all of us from the beginning. It takes us. There is nothing we can do. God chooses the time, but there is nothing that we can do about it. In the case of Jesus the Christ, that is not so. He doesn't just choose the time. He chooses the moment of his death. He accepts death when all things that he came into the world to do have finally been accomplished. With us, when death takes us, our head drops. We have no control, Chrysostom points out to us. In the case of Jesus the Christ, it's the opposite. Jesus says, "It is finished. All has been accomplished." And he lowers his head, and then he dies. Jesus completes his work, lowers his head in prayer, offering up all of the things that he has done, being born, living the life that he has lived, revealing God in himself, sanctifying the world, challenging that the power of the powerful is the true power, defying it and drawing power from it. There is no more to be done except to die. And so he lowers his head and he accepts death voluntarily, willingly, because he is the master of the universe and he has come to destroy the power of death and transform its meaning for us, because he has fully taken on our humanity. This way of life is compatible with us, with our humanity. We can live this life that he has transformed. And doing that is salvation. And with his death and resurrection and sending of the Holy Spirit, the age of the new creation begins. And all of us, by baptism and receiving the chrismation, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and by coming to communion so that we can receive God Himself into our bodies, we enter into and share God's own power. We can live from His power, from His life, and overcome all of the indignities, all of the trials that we go through in our lives from His strength. There is no other source of true power and true strength in the world. If we rely upon the power and strength of the world, we will fail. And so this is the meaning of the cross for us. That if we are going to prevail in life, there is no other way to do it other than the way He opened for us to do it. The path of the cross isn't a matter of simply, as we often think, humbly accepting suffering as what we have to go through in this life. This life is a world of suffering. But we are saved from final damnation because at the end we won't go to hell. That is a very, very thin misunderstanding of the Christian faith. What power is there in that? That in the end we won't burn forever. That's not the Christian message. The Christian message is that there is a way to live in this life from the power of God Himself. And that there is nothing that we can go through in life that can prevail against us and destroy us. It can make us stronger as it made Him stronger. Because our life is the divine life of God Himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.